Pet Life Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio, and I'm your host, Master Pet Chef Mickey Voisard. Thanks for joining us. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about fish. This is not a well-liked subject in the United States. For some reason, feeding fish to our pets or even to ourselves seems to be somewhat controversial. You know, and you go throughout the rest of the world, and fish is the dominant protein source. So it's really kind of difficult to get people to understand the necessity of fish because most people don't make it as a regular part of their diet themselves, and so giving it to their pets is really kind of new. But if you travel around the world, you'll see people do feed a lot of fish. And in my travels, I've met a lot of people who make fish a priority on their pets' food. So when we return from a break, we're going to look at why is fish such a controversial subject and is not so hot in the United States. So we'll be right back with the Pet Chef.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent!
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Dock. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. You know, I'm always asked if fish is good for pets. So the question I ask back is, how much fish do you eat? If the human doesn't eat fish or even like fish, then the odds of feeding it to our pets will be slim and probably none. And I find that pretty common here in the United States. People eat a lot of fish sticks, which is really basically fish that has been processed and batter boiled. And that's probably the most common way of people eating fish. And how we eat as humans determines the food that we feed our pack. Like if you eat a lot of processed food, there's a good chance that your pet is going to eat a lot of processed food. If you're not very adventuresome in the food area, in the real food area, well, eating fish is probably the last thing on your list. But let's just kind of look at what scares people about fish. Mercury, that's a real biggie. Food poisoning, is it safe? Is how highly regulated is the industry? And most people are not sure how to cook fish. It's a pretty delicate food to prepare. And can our pets eat too much fish? Let's just kind of look at the mercury part. Mercury is a concern and is becoming more so as we start talking a lot more about the extensive research into mercury levels and with women that are pregnant. And I don't think not too much has been done for pets as far as regulating the levels of mercury in a pet. But we've looked at rats, mercury in rats, and things like that. You know, how you get around that is with variety. And that's the same for any kind of food. Variety is really the spice of life. You'll hear me saying this endlessly because I see in my travels around the world, I see that in the United States, we are real bad about variety. We just really basically as humans eat maybe about 10 of the same foods every week. We're not really industrious when it comes to venturing out there and eating something unusual. And there's certainly parts of the country where people eat different things in different parts of the country. But so variety, if we ate a variety of fish, that would really change the levels of mercury. But if we stuck with smaller fish, such as sardines, herring, those are two of the most popular fish that are eaten all over the world. Sardines probably being the most common. And salmon, of course. Salmon has a real low level of mercury. And so if we stuck with things like those kind of smaller fish and salmon, preferably salmon that is wild caught, there is some controversy also on whether you should eat wild caught or farm salmon. And there's discussions on both levels of that, but that's for a different show because that would take another half an hour to discuss that. But tuna is pretty popular because people feel safe with tuna, but they're finding that there's also some problems with dolphins are being killed along with the tuna. And tuna has a higher amount of mercury. But the one thing about tuna is if you feed it primarily to cats, cats really become tuna junkies. They like tuna a lot, and they will just want to eat tuna only. And the problem with that is that tuna binds vitamin E, and that presents a problem in the immune system. And that's pretty soon the cat will only want to eat tuna, and that's all he wants to eat, and they start losing weight, and then we have definitely some problems. So tuna is something I rarely give to my cats or my dogs. I feed more sardines, more herring, salmon, mackerel over tuna. Tuna is probably only once a month at the most. So that's something to think about, but it seems to be the most common thing because people feel safe with it because it's been around for a long time. The levels of mercury vary in individuals also, and this is something that you don't hear too much in the discussion of mercury. You just hear the more controversial idea of mercury, that mercury is bad, and it certainly has its problems, but everybody individually has different levels of mercury. It all depends on how healthy you are and how healthy your pet is, and it's so we have to look at it from that point of view. Food poisoning. Fish really is one of the easiest foods to detect when fish is bad. Usually you could smell it right away. I know some people don't even like the smell of fish, period, and so they find it offensive. But there is more of an offending smell if the fish is bad. And smell was one of the easiest ways of telling if something is wrong with the fish. And also by sight. If you go to a fish market and you're actually looking at the whole fish, there's ways of looking at it that you can tell it that it's been around for a while. It looks glossier than normal. Kind of the skin looks a little sticky. The fish would look a little wet, kind of like a wetsuit might look, but it doesn't have this real glossy, there's kind of a sticky, glossy look to it. And this is something that might gross some people out, but if the fish has eyes and the head is still intact, the eyes would be clouded if the fish was kind of on its way out in its last days of determining whether it's good or it's bad. The eyes should look pretty much like they did when the fish was caught. Now, another thing is people are not sure how to cook fish or even feed it to their pets. And later I'm going to share a really quick fish recipe with you, but broiling fish, broiling, not boiling, broiling a fish such as salmon or a whitefish is pretty simple and really good and a quick snack or lunch for you and your dog or cat. And another way to share fish or feed it is through canned salmon or canned sardines. And a kind of a trick for cats is if your cat's not interested in eating fish right away and it's kind of gotten into eating nothing but commercial dry food, a way that you can get around that is just take a little bit of the sardines and put it on your finger and slap it right there on their chest. And you know your cat, they have to take it off. They have to lick it off. They just can't stand it. And that's a good way for them to get a certain amount of fish oil into their system naturally. Now, the problem with that is, of course, when they start seeing you do this on a daily basis, they're going to start running away every time you enter the room. But, you know, by then, maybe they'd start getting into enjoying the fish and start partaking in it on their own. Now, can we feed our fish too much, our pets too much fish? Yes and no. And that's not a cop-out, but that all depends on what your pet is presently being fed. If all you've ever fed your pet is commercial food, then feeding it fish really, like just jumping into it and feeding it a large amount of fish might not be a good idea. And I wouldn't recommend you do it that way. I would recommend maybe starting out with some fish oil capsules, starting with one capsule a day and working your way up into that. And getting your pet's body an immune system used to the fish oil in its system. And then starting to feed it maybe some canned sardines once a week. Open up a can and put it in the refrigerator and give them a small sardine every day as a treat. It qualifies as food and certainly as calories, but it's a really good treat. And I think they'll probably really enjoy it. And then they start getting used to the fish oil in their system. There are also, throughout the rest of the world, places like Norway, Sweden, Finland, Iceland, parts of Europe like Greece, and even when I was in Paris, fish is really common. That is what is fed a lot to most people eat fish, and they feed it to their pets, particularly in Norway and Sweden. Also, areas like Alaska, they eat a lot of salmon, and their pets are fed salmon constantly. Dogs that are running in the Iditarod races are given salmon on a daily basis. And in Hawaii, I've seen pets being fed fish constantly there. So it's not so unusual in other parts of the world, but we're pretty skeptical of fish here in the United States because, well, Americans are not great fish eaters. You know, I'd say one out of five people I ask about whether they eat fish, they say yes, but not as often as the rest of the world. So that's something that we have to take into effect when we are deciding to feed our pets fish. So what's good about fish? Well, you'll never see a dry coat or excess shedding in an animal who's fed fish at least twice a week. My pets here, they have really glossy coats. They shed probably as normally as I shed my hair, and it's not excessive. And so that's a really good thing. And fish offers the best form of omega-3. When pets are fed commercial food, they're getting far too much omega-6. And they need to have more of a balance of omega-3, omega-6, omega-9. So thus, with too much omega-6, we see a lot of joint and inflammation problems. There's also some other fish benefits include the healing of skin problems, Fish such as sardines have lots of sulfur, which helps the skin. The skin is made up of sulfur, and so that comes with in high amounts in sardines. And you can't even pay for that kind of stuff. You can't even get a supplement that would be that good. And fish is good for the reconnective tissues. It lubricates the joints. And it also carries a lot of precious minerals through the blood system. You know, we pay high prices for glucosamine and chondroitin and MSM and all these supplements that are supposed to help us and our pets with these joint problems, but it's right there. It's as simple and cheap as just adding fish to your diet and your animal's diet. The other really good thing that people don't really realize is that there's a natural fat in fish, like salmon, which help the body burn excess fat. Wow, right there. For obese dogs, obese cats, fish helps them lose weight. And that you might take a hint if you need to lose weight yourself as a human. Eat more fish. So I feed my pets fish pretty much on a daily basis in some form. I either give them the skin or the whole fish or in the form of fish stew or canned fish like sardines or canned salmon or canned mackerel. So don't be afraid of fish. There's a lot of fear about fish, but if you pay attention to giving a variety, you're going to be fine. So we'll continue with our topic on fish for our pets right after these messages from our wonderful sponsors.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned. When you're looking to add a pet into your life, consider adopting a homeless animal from your local shelter or rescue group. Whether you want a kitten, puppy, or a more mature pet, a purebred or a one-of-a-kind mixed breed, even a rabbit or hamster, your shelter has the best selection of animals anywhere, all screened for good health and behavior. PetLifeRadio.com presents Take Me Home with your host, Susan Daffron. Join us each week as we showcase wonderful pets, tell stories, and even throw some pet education into the mix. So get ready to find out why the pet adoption option can be a great way to add a furry companion into your life. Take Me Home every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Chef on Pet Life Radio. We've been talking about fish, and it's difficult sometimes for me to keep my mouth shut when I see a dog or a cat who's excessively shedding or experiencing joint problems at a real young age, maybe sometimes around 5 to 7 to even 8 years old. You see these dogs and they have a swollen legs, their legs are swollen or they're limping along, and the owner is giving them a lot of supplements to help them along. But, you know, I want to say to myself, that dog or that cat is a quart low. It's interesting because we all know in our cars that we have to keep oil in it. We have to keep a certain amount of oil in our car. Otherwise, it'll seize up. It'll get too hot. You know, we need oil to lubricate the engine. And so, we don't think about it as in the same way in our bodies or in the bodies of our pets, because it's the same idea that without oil in the system, we actually dehydrate, our joints become less flexible, and they inflame. And when things inflame in areas in our joints, it doesn't allow the nutrients in. The blood system cannot work as effectively, and so that area is not being fed nutrients. And also, it's not able to move the minerals throughout the rest of the body. So the minerals get caught into those joints, and that causes more problems. So we have to kind of think of our body like, am I a quart low? Or if I'm looking at my pet, is my pet limping around or is not as active as I remember him to be? And that's a lot, has a lot to do with the fact that there's not enough good omega-3 oil in the system. Another way that you can use, get fish oil, is through capsules, fish oil capsules. It's not my best form. I always recommend people do food first, supplements second. But, you know, fish oil capsules are another way around it if you're not so prone to be adventuresome and go into starting to cook fish. But you can also get it in a liquid form. And like I told you earlier, if your cat is not interested in eating it directly on their food, then you can slap it on their chest and they'll have to lick it off. They'll smell like fish for a while, but they're pretty good about cleaning themselves. And for your dog, you can start out with one capsule and build it up to whatever you think might work. You'll find that out in a couple days, what would work and what doesn't work for them. But fish oil capsules, now you want to read the ingredients real well. In some of the big box stores, you're not going to actually get good fish oil. So don't go cheap on this. You really need to spend some money on a good fish oil. And a company that you might pay attention to is Carlson with a C. There's a lot of good fish oil companies out there. But read the ingredients. You don't want any soy oil. A lot of them have soy oil in them and other things, other ingredients. Always read the other ingredients because it's very important. So you can have lunch with your pet. You can broil in a toaster oven for about 10 minutes at 350 degrees, something like a white fish of some sort or salmon, a cod. And after you broil this, you take it out of the oven, and then you add a half a teaspoon of olive oil. And you want to add olive oil after you cook the fish, because cooking olive oil is not a good thing. You can actually burn up the olive oil and get rid of some of the good parts of olive oil if you're cooking it too much. So I always tell people they should add the olive oil afterwards. The fish is still warm and you can add the olive oil. Also, cut up some small bits of parsley and you can add that on top of the fish. And maybe 1 to 2 tablespoons of cottage cheese and put that on the side. And you can share that with your dog or cat. This is a great little lunch that you and your dog or cat can have together. Another recipe would be fish treats. You could take something like salmon skins and you can broil for 3 minutes at 350 degrees in a toaster oven. Just take the salmon skin and lay them out after it's cooked and lay them out on a plate, uncovered, and refrigerate. And then you can do that, refrigerate it overnight, and then break it into bite-sized pieces and use those for training, and your cats will love it too. So I hope that you're going to get a better idea of fish. You may not want to eat fish all the time yourself, but I hope that at some point you will venture into at least starting out with some canned fish and then working your way into some really good salmon. So until next time, we're out of time right now, and we want to thank our producers for making this show possible. And you can go to my website, dogchefdetective.com. or dogchefs.com. And if you'd like transcripts of this show or any of the other great shows on Pet Life Radio Network, go to petliferadio.com and click on the Pet Chef. You can also send me your questions or comments to Mickey, M-I-C-K-I, at petliferadio.com. So until next time, bon appetit.
You're listening to petliferadio.com.